This morning's lesson comes from Psalm 46, verses 1 to 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. The Gospel of Christ.
Let us pray together. Holy Lord, speak into our hearts this morning. Open our ears to hear your word. All this we ask in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. A couple of weeks ago, we remembered those who had died in the two world wars. To the mournful sound of the trumpet, we were summoned to another time, when the lives of so many ended or were changed forever. I was in England last year on Remembrance Day, and at the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month, I stood with so many others in 2 minutes of silence to recognize the armistice, an agreement to end the fighting of the First World War as a prelude to peace negotiations. In 1925, in the aftermath of the First World War, while a Second World War was yet simmering, Pope Pius XI published an encyclical that he prayed would lead to peace. The encyclical spoke of the struggles and difficulties under which people struggled, that these manifold evils in the world were due to the fact that the majority had thrust Jesus and his holy law out of their lives, and that as long as individuals and states refused to submit to the rule of the Savior, there would be no real hopeful prospect of a lasting peace among nations. People, he said, must look for the peace of Christ in the kingdom of Christ. And so, Long before Kanye West declared Christ to be king, the church had declared a feast day to recognize God's sovereignty. And it is this day, a day when we stand on the brink of Advent, preparing for the birth of the one who would be king. And we celebrate with white, as you see from the hanging and the stole that I brought, most specifically for the children, because they're learning about colors in Sunday school. It's the color that we use in church for feasts and weddings and baptisms. Today at the 10:45 service, Samuel's parents and godparents will make promises on his behalf, and Ola will renew his own promises. Today is a high feast day. Christ is King, King of kings, Lord of lords. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom shall reign forever and ever. We heard two of the scripture texts that are assigned to this day, but there's another, and that is Jeremiah. Look, days are coming, said the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous shoot for David, and a king shall reign and prosper and do justice and righteousness in the land. This is the name that they shall call him. The Lord is our righteousness. The time in the gospel we read is now. Zechariah bends to write the name given to his son by the angel who appeared to him. His name is John. John, the name meaning God is gracious. John, who will in time be known as John the Baptist. John, the longed-for child, the child whose birth, questioned maybe for a second by his aging father, resulted in Zechariah spending the next 9 months in silence. 9 months to gaze in wonder at his wife, long past her childbearing years, so they thought, but now glowing and growing with the promised child. 9 months to reflect on the glory and power of God. Look, days are coming, said the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous shoot for David. And now, Zechariah's lips are loosened again to speak, filled with the Holy Spirit. He proclaims and prophesies first about Jesus, the Son of God, the righteous shoot, the King, and then his own child who will prepare the way for Jesus. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. God has not forgotten his promises. Indeed, the name Zechariah means God has remembered again. God has remembered again. He does not forget. Zechariah's song from Luke is known as the Benedictus, which means, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It is prayed by thousands throughout the world in morning prayer, and it's echoed in the evening by the Magnificat, Mary's prophetic song of praise. My soul does magnify the Lord. One author wrote that it's worth pondering that in one little house in the hills of Judea, two beautiful canticles were created that remain part of the Christian liturgy to this day. Words that sing of hope, of trust in God, in his promises. 9 months, 9 years, 900 years, 9,000 years. They are fulfilled, they will be fulfilled, and yet John the Baptist died at the hands of vanity. Jesus would die at the hands of those who would not hear his word, who would not recognize him as the one true king. And still today we cry sometimes, how long, Lord? When we look around at the pain and the grief in the world, at the pain and grief in our own lives, the mournful cry of desolation, how long, Lord? How long? A couple of weeks ago, the BBC reported that an 89-year-old Holocaust survivor, Liliana Segre, had been assigned police protection after being subjected subjected to a barrage of anti-Semitic emails. The reason? She's an Italian life senator and had called for Parliament to establish a committee to combat all forms of racism and anti-Semitism, incitement to hatred and violence on ethnic and religious grounds. For doing that, she received so many hateful emails that she had to be assigned police protection. It seems that Remembrance Day has already been drowned out by the cries of hatred and prejudice, even in our own university, but never completely drowned out. Hatred for the enemy is out there. Race, politics, gender, religion, our politicians, our leaders, our boss, our neighbor, those who care too much or too little for the environment, those who think or act differently, whatever the particular prejudice that has blinded the eye and blocked the ear. And every knee does not bow to the Lord, nor every ear hear truth. So this is Christ the King Sunday. Pilate said to Jesus, "So you are a king?" And our Lord answered, "You say I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." The church bears witness to that truth. Even though we know there have been colossal and tragic failures made by some in the church, I believe there are so many, many more who serve faithfully in the name of Christ, speaking truth and salvation and hope in Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we turn to Christ, when we acknowledge Christ as Lord, as King of our lives, we carry that hope with us every day in every situation. Does that mean we'll be safe from the effects and of evil and ultimately death? No. Does that mean we'll be saved the pain of hurt, sometimes from our own Christian brothers and sisters? No. Does that mean that we will get it hopelessly and sometimes tragically wrong? Yeah, we will. But there are times. There are times when we get it right. Or at least the Holy Spirit working through us. And we get glimmers of light and hope and joy, even in the darkest places. When we see the glimmer of light flicker in another who is just hearing the word of the Lord for the first time. And when we catch it in the corner of our own eye, he's there. The light has come into the darkness, my friends, and the darkness will never overcome it. And nowhere speaks of the harrowing times of destruction and despair and the moments of joy and hope than in the prayer book of the church, in the Psalms. Today's wonderful Psalm, Psalm 46, soars and crashes. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns, the nations raise, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come. Come, behold the works of the Lord. How he's brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. Hope when the waves are crashing about us, overwhelming us, sucking us down. But there is a rock on which we stand. in the raging waters, our Lord stretched out his arm and quieted the storm. In our midst, even in the terror of loss, of pain, and in the face of death, be still and know that I am Lord. There is no river flowing from Jerusalem that I know of, but I understand that there is a river running underneath. There is water underneath, the constant source of life. A few weeks ago, I went to visit an old friend, a friend who's very sick. And it's still hard for me to put a name to the look on their face when I came into the room. But what they knew and what I knew is that I brought hope, not in gratuitous words of comfort or promises of healing if they would only, if you just did. No fix-it solutions, but instead the small case that I carried in my hand, the bread and wine that would become under Christ's hands and in Christ's words, his body and his blood. It is for me the most powerful and humbling, indeed my most favorite part of priestly ministry, the extraordinary privilege of presiding at the table, be it at a tiny bedside table or the altar in the church. In the much repeated prayers and in the presence of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we share communion with each other, with all the saints and the company of heaven. I don't have words to describe that time when I visited my friend, only the absolute certainty of both our frail and fragmented lives in the presence and the Holy One of Israel, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lord when we wake and when we sleep and when we face death. When I wake, my morning ritual is generally to read the office of morning prayer, so I've been reading that Benedictus for many weeks now, conveniently accessed on my cell phone with all the daily readings and psalms right there. You don't even have to look them up. And then I look at the World BBC News Service with its dramatic and usually depressing headlines. And what have we learned from the world wars raging around us? Violence, anger, chaos, and sin. In his encyclical that I referred to earlier, Pope Pius wrote, "If princes and magistrates duly elected are filled with the persuasion that they rule, not by their own right, but by the mandate and in the place of the divine king, they will exercise their authority piously and wisely, and they will make laws and administer them, having in view the common good and also the human dignity of their subjects. The result," he says, "will be a stable peace and tranquility, for there will be no longer any cause of discontent." Imagine a world. How would it be if at the name of Jesus we were all to drop to our knees, metaphorically and otherwise, we and all around the world, and declare that Christ is King above all? Whatever you face today, you do not face it alone. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though our loved ones are sick, though a relationship has ended, though our health is poor, the future looks bleak, though the mountains shake in the heart of the seas, its waters roar and foam, the mountains tremble with its tumult, the seas roar, a tsunami, a violent earthquake, destruction on the grandest scale, and still, there's God in the midst of it. Know that I am God in the ancient promises, in the beginning, in the first cry of a child, and the last breath of death. This Sunday, before the church's new year begins, before the preparation for the birth of the Christ child, this is the first cry of the one who came before him, John the Baptist, preparing the way for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. "And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation for the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.